Yo, gorillas, welcome to the next episode of the Athlete Insider podcast by GorNation. My name is Phil, and today we have a special guest from Latvia. You're a content creator, you're a competitive athlete, and I'm really happy to have you here, Paul, from Latvia.
Hi, everybody.
Nice. And today we will talk a little about your story, about your workout, your life in general. And I'm already looking forward to it. Thanks that you take the time. And yeah, we will get right into the questions if you're okay with that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for the invitation, by the way.
Nice. So somebody comes towards you and asks you, yeah, who are you? Like, how do you present yourself? Who are you, Paul?
If somebody asks me that, I straight up say I'm a regular guy. I don't like to like tell them about my like social medias or working out because like that's my... It's not my main thing that I do with my life. Like, it's a hobby, but it's like more based. Like, I surround my life with that, but I don't tell that that's the main thing that you can think about me when you see me. So, like, if they really ask me, like, detailedly, like, where I have competed or what I have achieved, I maybe say that. Usually I say, like, I'm just a regular guy who likes to do, like, bar tricks, and that's it.
Okay. So, like calisthenics is a hobby, but it's not like, it's part of your life, but it's not the main thing in your life, as it is for a lot of athletes.
Yeah. Like I could say, like, I'm really serious about like competing maybe and stuff like that. But I also like have a regular job. I have like other friends that don't do this sport. Like usually when I like meet somebody that does this sport, every single one of their friends are only doing this sport. I have like friends who does music, who does like dancing and different other things. So like my life fully don't surround is around only working out. It's like doing friends stuff as well, like also working, family time and stuff like that.
Okay. So like you also have other hobbies, like what do you do apart from calisthenics, street workout?
It's like I like to like do every possible sport like that I can get my hands on, like literally, like I'm not maybe it's not gonna be maybe on a professional level, but I like just to move to like stay healthy, stay in shape and just move around, because like I don't see like calisthenics is gonna get you fit, but it's not gonna keep you like you can't work on your cardio that good if you do calisthenics. You can get muscle strength, statics and stuff like that, but like if you want cardio, endurance and stuff like that, you need to run, you need to move in different ways and stuff like that,
because you think it's important for the health, right?
It's important for the health. Yeah, cardio is important as well, because like it's underrated also in this sport. If you focus on cardio, it's going to help you in competing, because yeah, like multiple times before the competitions, if I have done extra cardio, it has helped me to like go further in combos. Usually like every other athlete, their endurance runs out and they're like, they can't do anything else. So yeah, I've been there too. So that's why I tried to focus also on the cardio a little bit.
Okay. So for you, if calisthenics wouldn't exist like at all, what sport would be your main sport?
Main sport. Oh, I need to think about it. Okay. Like I need to take it way back to understand. Yeah. Before like I did calisthenics, I did skateboarding. So pretty much because I found out about calisthenics, I stopped skateboarding at all. So I would probably stick to that till this day, if it would be like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I also have done like, I think every possible sport when I was little, but like I stick to calisthenics. I don't know why. Like I liked it. I liked it the best. But yeah, like it was 10 years ago or something when I started. So it's been some time.
10 years.
10 years, like this summer, yeah, literally this summer, it's 10 years when I started, 10 years ago. Because like in Latvia, it came earlier than every other country, because like Latvia started to organize world championships first. And yeah, pretty much I saw like first and second world championship in Latvia, and third also, the first three ones were organized in Latvia. I saw them, pretty much picked it up from there. So yeah.
Crazy.
And it's pretty popular. It's pretty popular over here, because like when you, if somebody is going to see you doing like pull-ups on the bars or something or some tricks, they're going to be like, yeah, that's street workout. Like, and they're confident. Like everybody knows.
Okay, so first a question, do people in Latvia say street workout or calisthenics? What is more and more known?
We say street workout because it got advertised like it. Mm-hmm. Because calisthenics, as I understand, calisthenics is mostly like bodyweight exercises. That's how I understand, everybody has their own opinions, but it's bodyweight training in my opinion. And street workout, it's like doing in the regular park, doing like more advanced moves like handstand push-ups, 90-degree push-ups, dynamics, other static moves, like stuff like that. It's way much more than just basics. Calisthenics, in my opinion, is basics. How you achieve the physical like endurance and like strength.
Okay. That's so weird. Like if I could change like a few things in calisthenics and go back in time, I would like change the definitions, because it's so weird that there is calisthenics and street workout for everybody it means something else. Like for some people it's the same, for some people it means something completely different, and it's weird.
I use both. Like if people like ask me straight away like what are you doing, I say both. I say street workout and calisthenics, and then they ask like the explanation of both, I explain them. And also, like, I saw a documentary or mini short film from Bar Sparta crew from United Kingdom, and they had like the literal explanation. They told calisthenics comes from Greek word kalisthenos, and I think it means beauty of strength or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty much it was bodyweight training that came from way, way, way back.
Okay. Nice. So I would be interested in going back to 2010, like 10 years back when you started calisthenics. How did you get in touch with the sport? Like how did it have the power to get you back away from skateboarding?
Okay, the skateboarding, it was like pretty much how I spent time with my friends, and we were doing like nothing good. We got in trouble, like did like all of dumb things that kids do these days, you know. And pretty much first time I saw them on TV, it was like literally the guy who made the federation, World Street Workout Calisthenics Federation, Maris Slezinj. He and his team performed in like, you could say it's like Latvia's Got Talent. It got called differently, but it's pretty much Latvia's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. So they competed and got first place, I think. Yeah, they got first place and they won some money, and they spend the money to like build some parks around my hometown, Riga. And yeah, pretty much that's how I saw them. And later on, they started to touring around the schools around Latvia. Mm-hmm. So pretty much they came one day with the whole team, they came to our school and performed. And that's how I saw street workout first time like in action. But those were the tricks that I saw first time. I have done like bodyweight training since I remember myself. I have done like handstands against the wall since I was like 3, like handstand walks since first grade.
Crazy.
Push-ups, like pull-ups, everything, like because like my father, he went to army, he did that stuff in army, so he, when I was little, he did that also in home, so I also joined him and did also that.
Okay, so you did like bodyweight exercise next to skateboarding, but skateboarding was not like a sport, like to be fit or something. It was just your lifestyle, your way of spending time with your friends.
Yeah, exactly. It was like something that you can like put working and actually achieve something.
Yeah.
Like that was like my first experience like that I did. I also have done like team sports or something like that, but never stuck to it. Like did like a couple of months and then quit. Yeah, also I remember like in my like primary school days also, like we had pull-up bars in front of a school. It's like since USSR days, like since Russia was influenced over like Latvia, like literally we had pull-up bars in front of a school. We like did like pull-up ladders in the school break. Yeah, we did pull-up ladders. I remember, like, everybody does one pull-up, everybody does two and stuff like that. It was how we used to spend time back in the day. That's why it's so common, like, in Latvia. Like, that's why, because everybody's, like, I could say, like, every other person who also goes to gym, they also does pull-ups in Latvia, because, like, it's that common. It's popular out here. In Europe, in Baltics in general, yeah.
That's so, like, it's so interesting how a state and like a state can influence the health and the fitness of the people and the mindset. Like I was also talked to Gian Piero from Venezuela, and he's like, also everybody does a body weight workout everywhere. There are pull-up bars like on the school place, in front of the schools, etc., for the children to stay fit. But like in Germany, there is not something like this. Like and like you aren't even allowed as an adult person to go on a playground for children and do your training there, because it's for children and it's like legally reglemented. So yeah, it's really interesting. So Latvia is also an active country, right?
I think it's a part of like Mari's success that he like made this federation, did the world championships. And it's also because, like, I think in the countries that there's like the most poverty, there's going to be the most like equipment outdoors, so you can train, like, you, because it like it keeps people out of trouble. If you train, like, you get your head straight during that thing, like, literally, like, I think calisthenics have saved my life, because I think I might be like, I don't know, maybe in jail or maybe not alive or something like that. Like back in the day, I wasn't doing anything smart.
Yeah. So like calisthenics, you see it today as you saw skateboard back then, that it's like your style of spending time with your friends, or is there a difference?
It's more like, it's literally to keep me in shape, to like... also to travel the world. I really enjoy when I compete outside of my country, like I really enjoy to traveling. Also like I try to like not push myself too much as an athlete, like recently, because back in the day I used to put so much pressure on myself, even though I wasn't in the level to compete with the other guys.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I have like separated myself from like competing a little bit, so I can straighten my head and like work on my statics, because it's my weak part, weak link. Because like you saw me like in Sweden when I competed against Dan, like I literally, like, my statics are like not good, so I need to work on that, and then maybe I'll come back to competing, like, and maybe we'll see how far I can go. Yeah, but pretty much calisthenics, like, it's like a big part of my life, but at this time it's not the main thing.
Okay.
Doing multiple things at the same time.
Because I can imagine that the pressure that if you can't, if you have maybe the wrong mindset, it's hard to not put pressure on you if you perform and like, and you train with high performance people, you know, like it's really hard to be the one who says, yeah, like calisthenics is nice, it's my way of living, I like to perform, etc., but it's not like the main thing, and I don't define myself as with about my performance. So like, how is this possible?
Oh, it's really hard, because like it took so much like self-improvement to like understand that I'm not like, I can't call myself an athlete, because I can't like compete with the top guys. Like I can compete with Dan is like really a top, but like still I'm under his level. Like Daniel's, like I train most of my time with him, but still it's like the things that he does, it seems impossible to me, so I can't compete. Like they're at the pro level, maybe I'm mid-tier level or something, I could say. Yeah, like I do, like I try to like raise the level for myself, but it takes so much work. Also like to keep yourself in check so your ego don't comes in your way. Like usually the youngsters as well, like they start to do dynamics and then they need to start to do statics, but their ego say no, don't do only dynamics, it's more enjoyable. Like because it's like statics are hard, like if you want to achieve statics, like every time when I see somebody who like does really clean statics, like I really can enjoy it, because I see how much hard work it takes to like achieve everything. Because I've been struggling like with planches and front levers for like maybe past 4 years or maybe more. Like I can hold them, but not for a long time. I'm not the strongest guy. There's like peak points that I can hold a little bit full planche, and then there's moments that I can barely do straddle planche, stuff like that. Like back in the day, I could do a little bit one arm front lever, but like it disappeared with time because I stopped focused on that, because like I pretty much you need to like also stay complete, not only focus on one thing, because like I think that's literally the one thing that always have helped me, that I have learned from Daniels. Like, you need to stay complete. I'm not the strongest guy, but some of the times I go against stronger guys and I can win against them because I can put dynamics and statics together pretty well.
Okay. And you said like statics, as I understood it, statics, you need to put more time in it. Is it like, is it right? So like dynamics are easier to learn or like take less time and statics just...
It depends. It depends on the person actually. Mm-hmm. Like, it's how you work with yourself as well. Like statics, it really takes time. Like if you see a guy who like can hold full planches and stuff, it probably took like a year or three, maybe from 1 to 3 years to get to that level from the full planche. And dynamics is literally, you can like achieve 360 like in one session. You can get 540 in one session. It depends on yourself. Like some people, like they like to take their time with dynamics and like get them clean with the first time that they train. They take their time, take a week or maybe a month, depends. And also like if you try to also run like through those elements, like a lot of people, they start to do dynamics straight, they need to do a swing 360. They don't try to even achieve like over the bar jumps on the bar, like basics, total basic dynamics. They don't know that, and that's why the swing 360, it's harder for them and it takes more time for them. If you go like in the level of the dynamics, like you need to take your time to polish the easier moves so the harder ones are easier for you. That's why usually everybody is shocked when me or Daniels or anybody who's in the top level, they're shocked that we can do like dynamics, simply jump off the bar and we don't feel anything from that. It's because we have done basics so much that the advanced moves are easier for us. But there's also like the guys who does 720s and 900s and they're way above me and I don't understand how they does that.
Okay, and like what are the main elements that you need to have to do dynamics? Is it like a strength thing? Is it mindset, like being not afraid? Is it technique? What is...
You need basics, that's for sure. Like you won't be able to catch the bar with the first attempt if your grip strength is not strong enough. Mm-hmm. So grip strength is really, really important. You need some basics. I could advise like to at least get to 5 to 10 muscle ups before you do dynamics at all. Mm-hmm. It's like you need explosive power as well. A lot of people don't know that. They straight up jump to dynamics and they're like surprised how they do it and how I can't. Yeah. But you need to do like, I don't know, explosive push-ups, muscle-ups, everything. Like you need to do that. So it's going to be easier for you if you get your explosive strength up. Dynamics comes easier to you. Because like first, like I think 5 to 6 years that I did street workout, I only did basics and like minimal statics, like handstands and stuff, like so flagmans, back levers, stuff like that. And when I started to do dynamics, I progressed really fast and everybody was like, how did you do it?
Yeah.
I told them like basics is the key. And the technique is also like very important thing. Like pretty much when I learned my 360s, I learned them with wrong form. And a couple of years later, I had to relearn my form so I can do them better and do multiple 360s. So yeah, form is really important. Like also, like if you want to learn dynamics, you need to like, if you see somebody doing it really good, check those videos. Like you need to memorize how to do it properly. And then it goes into your muscle memory that you can easily do it without problems.
And is it better to start dynamics with bad form first, but catch it? Or is it better to just start with clean form from the beginning on?
So like, in my opinion, start with bad form, because like a lot of people are afraid to grab it with bad form. That's why it takes so long time. Grab it with bad form first, but okay, you don't go too crazy and don't injure yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, but start with the form you can do and then work up to the better form. Because like everybody try to do like perfect form and they fall, and like it takes energy. Firstly, like when you want to do explosive, you drill one move, for a certain extent of time, it takes a toll on your body and also on your mental state. If you fail all the time, you're not going to be able to like land the move that fast. Like, but if you say, fuck it, let's go, I want to do it like with the couple of times, like the form is, has to be sacrificed if you want to go faster then. But okay, everybody has their own opinions. That's how I do it.
Okay.
Start with the bad form and then move up to better form.
Okay. Basics first, then like bad form dynamics, and then you move on like to good form until you cleaned everything up.
Yeah, exactly. Also, it goes same to like statics as well. Like you need to start with basics. Because like a lot of guys I can see, they're like literally, they can barely do some push-ups and then they're already trying to do tuck planches and stuff like that. And I'm like, it's not going to go far, in my opinion, in those moments.
Get it. So something that I would be interested in is you're surrounding yourself with some of the top athletes, like not only in your home country and in your trainings, but also when you travel. So what is the stuff that professional athletes do that like beginners don't do? And this is why they stay beginners or like intermediate athletes. Like, are there some habits, some similarities between the athletes, why they are so good?
I could say like the mindset, like because like mindset is the main thing. If you don't have a mindset, like might as well don't do it in a professional level. Like first thing, if you want to do it, get your mindset right and then start. Because like when I started to try to do this in professional level, like I don't know if I'm professional or something, but yeah. When I started to do it like more seriously, like I didn't have the right mindset, and that's why it took a lot of time to like understand where I'm at. Because when you start, you need to literally break everything down, what you're able to do, what you're not able to do, and understand what you need to work on. Mm-hmm. And be aware of what you're able to do and not able to do. It's the main thing, like to understand if you can do some moves and be able to use them in the competitions as well. But the mindset is the main thing. I have seen like Daniels train, Dan train, Xavier, like a lot of my friends that I'm close with from calisthenics community, their mindset is crazy. Like literally they can be like 4 hours training like one move. They don't care. They're going to spend a lot of time just to achieve it. Like the mentality is like to get where you want to be. Like literally you need to work hard for it. Like if you want to be there, just work your ass off, pretty much like that.
Okay. Like work your ass off, but also know what you're capable of and know what you're not capable of. Because something that exactly. I see also a lot of on competitions for people who are on their first competition, on their third competition, like really beginners in competitive street workout, they start with a move that they don't feel comfortable with, that you see that they often fail their first move. And of course, it's because of adrenaline. But I think it relates to the point that you say, know that what you're capable of, be really sure, work your ass off to really make one move sure, do it like for a few hours until you always catch it.
Yeah, that's why usually like if you see some pro athletes, they don't fail those moves because they have done like the million times, they have like, they have it back in their heads. They literally can't fail. If they do, it's like technical faults, some maybe not enough chalk, or maybe the bar is slippery or something like that. It's like, yeah, usually like, I don't know, in the competitions, usually when I fail, it's like if I'm fatigued, if I'm not in shape, correct shape that I used need to be when I compete, maybe I'm too fatigued and I can't land the move. But literally if I go on the first round, if I need to do a 540 or something, I shouldn't fail at all, because like I have drilled it so much times that it's really easy for me. So the main thing for the like beginners, they need to like drill their moves and don't try to do anything too advanced, because I have done it multiple times and I have learned from that. If you like do too advanced moves in the beginning, like you're not gonna last in the competition, you're gonna get fatigued, and in the one moment you won't be able to continue.
Okay, crazy. What are the moves that you know by heart that you could do? Like when I say pulse, do this now, you could always do it?
In single move?
Single move. Yeah, just single move.
dynamics, like pick any trick in dynamics that I can do. Like literally, if you tell me I can do it, like okay. Singles, it's easy. If you do combos, okay, then I will fail maybe. It depends on the combination. But 540s, gangers, skin the catches, 360s, like if you call me out, I can do it. Okay. Like also Dan usually does this to me when he comes to Latvia, to Jurmala Cup stage. He's like, Paul, do a ganger. I'm like, do you really need it? He's like, come on, let's go. And then I do it. It's like if you drill it that much, you shouldn't be afraid at all. Like you need to be confident. Also, the confidence is one thing. Because like I know also there's a lot of guys and girls that they have drilled the move a lot. And I, in my opinion, I think they can do it. But the confidence is not there. And then because of the confidence that they're lacking, they're not able to do the move.
Okay. Okay. That's like for dynamics. We talked a lot about dynamics. But I still would like to know your planche journey. Like, how did it go? When did you start? Like, was it always like this? Or did you have some setbacks, injuries?
And that's I think, like, most of the things because my, like, how to explain it? My planche, it's been spiraling up and down all the time. And it's partly, it's like injuries, partly it's like losing motivation, partly it's like changing of plans. Usually, like when I stop training planches, literally before the competition, when the competition starts, like I take 3 to 4 weeks before the comp and start to prepare. It depends on the competition also. And yeah, and after the competition, I'm so tired that I don't get back to my routine. And then the some time passes and I'm like, oh, I should have like gone back to the routine. And like you lose strength in that part after the competition. If you skip your training after the competition, you might be able to losing your settings. Also, it's like I'm really anxious when I train. I like to do everything. I do like my workouts are really random. Like sometimes you will see that I tell somebody, okay, today is a planche day, and that I end up doing front lever. Like, okay. I might not be the most consistent one. Also, consistency is really important. I'm lacking on that, but I'm working on myself. Like, I'm trying to do consistent workouts. Yeah, the injuries is the most I think popular one that everybody is stopping the progressing. They're getting injured. And yeah, when I was in Sweden, I was injured back then when I battled then, and I was actually surprised that I could still hold planche.
Yeah, because really like surprised. You said, I'm injured. Like my planche, it really sucks. But the people didn't see it, and I didn't see it. Like it was stable.
Yeah, like literally, Dan, everybody at the comp, they came up to me and like, Dan, Paul, I finally see some progress from you. And I'm like. Like I was like injured before then. I was like maybe a little bit stronger, but still I'm like, it's nice to hear it when you're injured that you feel that you're not confident. They boost your confidence. So yeah, that is, it takes a lot of time and patience. And also don't overtrain yourself when you work on statics and basics and dynamics as well. You can get yourself out of the game really fast if you overdo something and injure yourself pretty badly.
And what do you do nowadays to prevent injuries?
I take more rest days. I don't train that much. Like back in the day, I used to go crazy. Like me and Daniel, we used to like do workouts almost every day of the week. Like we literally, but like in 2015, we started to train together. Pretty much it was like almost every day for like, the most of the days I allowed myself to take rest, it was like maybe 2 or 3. And it was for like a couple of years that we like did it like that.
Wow.
And also like I trained through injuries because I wasn't aware that I'm actually injured. I felt some pain. It was not comfortable, but actually it was an injury. Wow. So like I trained through injuries as well. It's not the smartest move. Yeah, also like you need to educate yourself through when you work out. Like if most of the people are not aware of what they're doing, what their body is at, stuff like that. Take deload weeks, take rest days, do everything, plan your workouts. That's the most important thing. Plan your workouts. Don't do them randomly. If you do them randomly, your ego is going to get in the way and you're going to injure yourself. That's from my personal experience.
And how do you educate yourself? What possibilities are there to learn and to educate?
There's multiple, like YouTube, number one, like everything that I have learned about this sport, like everything about like training and stuff like that, everything comes from YouTube. And people are also underestimating the power of internet. Yeah, pretty much everything is free on internet, right? And a lot of people are selling programs. Like you can make your own program, but a lot of people likes to buy them instead.
Yeah.
I think you need to educate yourself because like the programs are a good thing if you buy them, but you also then you need a trainer so who keeps you in line also. If you go by someone's routine, you need them to train you because you're not going to be able to see yourself from the other perspective.
Yeah, that's true. Like see programs, it's sometimes it's useful because it's like a shortcut and you don't have to search everything up by yourself on YouTube. Maybe you find something like a bad workout plan by somebody who's like didn't do it himself, or just worked for him. But like in general, you're right. Like everything, you find everything on YouTube, everything like for
everything. Everything is in internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Also like, programs are really good, but you might as well educate yourself. If you take this serious, educate yourself. You need to know this stuff. Because if you know this stuff, you know how to like get better progress after all, because like the human body is really difficult to understand.
Yeah. So yeah. Like when you look up why you why you should do like 10 pull-ups for 3 sets, like you understand why it's important to do 10 pull-ups and not just somebody who tells you in a plan do 10 pull-ups. So yeah, I get what you mean. Like you understand more of the body, the training systems, etc. when you look up everything by yourself. But it's like yeah, it takes some work.
Yeah, exactly. But also from the other side, I understand from the financial aspect. Like it's cheaper to like buy a program and try to do it yourself than actually like pay some coach or somebody to teach you that stuff. Like that there's big money difference between maybe 30 euro or dollar like program or like 10 sessions with your coach.
Yeah.
Like it's completely different. So I understand those people who prefers doing buying programs.
Yeah. That's true. Like, and we didn't talk about what you work. Like, what do you do in your life? What is the life of Pulse look like?
Usually, like at this point in my life, I'm studying, still studying, and I'm doing like basic 9-to-5. It don't differ from everybody. I'm still trying to understand where I'm going in my life because a lot of people, like it seems that everybody has their life figured out. And like a lot of people still like DM me on Instagram or something. They're like, come on, do more content and stuff like that. And I don't define myself as a content creator because like usually the most content that I post are made by somebody else. I think the content creator, most of them, the content creators, they create themselves. They have their own cameras, every equipment, they do it by themselves. But usually like there's like Daniel helping me, like other guys from our squad that they have cameras or something. I edit myself, but like they help me with the process. So yeah, but also I like pretty much this is how to explain. It's fun for me like to train, like to do content and stuff like that. That's how I like spend my time. Like I enjoy it and I try to not to put too much pressure on myself with the content because like usually like you have like social like anxiety about content creating because like everybody's in this sport, like the top guys, everybody's I need to be consistent to like get where I'm at with the posts. No, you need to train consistent because like this sport is about competing, not about like social medias. Like a lot of people, like they take social medias too seriously even though they're athletes in the first place. But yeah, social medias, I plan to take it more seriously, but like first I need to do some other things, like to understand if I really want it.
Okay.
Because it's really difficult to be consistent with the content creating. Like, especially for an athlete, because everybody tries to post like 3 pictures a week, like with one video in a week, but they still show the same stuff. They don't show progress. They show different edits, but the same things in those videos. And it has become a norm, I think, is in our sport. Like, everybody expects you to like post like literally every other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking some time off from social media because like it gets me anxious. I don't like it. I don't like it that much that I get anxious, because like I don't get the job done when I need to. So I take some time off to like work on myself. When I achieve something new, then I'm going to post something. I'm going to do it like that, because it's a struggle to do. Like, I've seen Daniels doing it. I've seen Dan doing it. Like, they're the, I would say, like the guys that are like trying and doing like in the top level, like the content creating in our community, in freestyle community in general. And it takes so much time. You need to sit hours in front of a PC and edit. And when you film, most of the time the videos that you get, or maybe pictures you get, they're not as good as you expected. And so you need to scratch that and do new ones. So that's a lot of work. And it's like, I don't know if I'm as passionate as them about videography or photography or stuff like that. But I enjoy like the whole, like the community movement that we push everything through social media mostly, because like pick any other street sport that has like big numbers on social media that they post videos and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, like any other sport, like this sport is special because of the social media. So yeah. And also like, I think Daniel is a big part of like this whole movement, that we post combos, like crazy amounts of combos, like content, like everybody does it. Also like Eric Ortiz, he's also doing like crazy a lot of like content. Small Spartan from UK as well, like the top dogs, they're like, most of them are doing like social media influencing as well. And that's a big thing, because like the most, if we get this sport like presented to more people, it's going to get more popular, and it's going to get like better in the level as well. And also like people are going to be able to like earn a living out of it after all.
So for you, it's mostly a tool to make it like more known to the people and to spread the sport, but it's not like a part of your life or like...
I'm about to like do something, but I don't want to like spoil it. Maybe you'll see in some time that I'm working on something with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like for me, I like to like spread the positivity, like to train. Back in the day, I also used to be a personal trainer, but I switched because like it takes so much energy from you if you want to train yourself and train somebody else. It takes a lot of energy. And yeah, then that's why also like I admire those people who are like personal trainers and they compete in the high level.
Yeah.
Like also Dan Rosenberg, also he's a personal trainer. He competes himself.
Yeah.
Also Small Spartan from UK, also he's a personal trainer. He competes. He also was like WCO featherweight champion, if I'm not mistaken. Like, there are guys that are doing it, and it's crazy how they can make it work, because like it takes a lot of energy.
That's true. But it's interesting, like in the intro I said the content creator and competitive athlete, and in this interview you now said like these are the two things that I don't define myself with, but like the image that people get on social media from you is like different to what you define yourself with. And like you say, you're a regular guy, but today we have a regular guy in the interview.
yeah, because like I think I'm a regular guy. Like, yeah, I do specific stuff, but I'm not in that level, so I can tell like I'm at like professional calisthenics athlete. I don't tell it because I don't earn a living out of it. Like, that's the thing. Like, most of the guys, they're like, oh yeah, I want to become professional calisthenics athlete. Like, and I ask them, what do you mean with it? Like, compete in the world championships or earn a living out of it? They say, earn a living out of it. Then I'm like, it's almost impossible. Like, everybody's still working for that.
Yeah.
Maybe the top guys, they get to like earn the living, but they also, they sell programs, they sell merch, they like have sponsorships and stuff like that. You need to work by yourself on your like also on social medias. Like, you need to do multiple things at the same time so you can earn a living through this sport. But literally, you won't be able to like earn a living this day if you want to be just an athlete, do nothing at the same time. Like, it's hard. Like, but still, I can see like the Gord Nation, Via Fortis, these companies are coming up really fast. And I think in next maybe 5 to 10 years, there's going to be professional athletes that they're, everybody's like that competing. There's going to earn a living out of it because this sport is growing really fast.
That's true. Like, this is this has to be the goal of everything that we do, because as you said, it's not like being a personal trainer sucks energy, and of course it helps people, but if you want to define yourself as a competitive athlete, it's not good to be a personal trainer at the same time. You know, imagine like Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi being like obligated to do personal trainings by side. And that has to be the goal. That's true.
Exactly. That's why you don't see like literally the guys who have been like world champions, like Daniel, Eric Ortiz, like in those days, as I know, in those days when they like climbed up the ladder to like to be the world champion, they weren't personal trainers, because like you need to put so much focus on yourself that you can't be able to focus on anybody else.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so like one last question I have about dynamics, because it's something that a lot of people are interested in, and then we come to an end of the interview. So like, how long did it take for you to learn different skills? Like, let's start with the shrimp flip, or like the skin the catch, I think you call it.
Skin the catch. Yeah, in Europe it's more known like skin the catch, but in USA I've heard that they use more shrimp flip.
Okay.
Yes.
I think so.
Pretty much it took me 3 times to land it the first time, but like to literally achieve it, it took me maybe about a week, like to have it locked down that I can do it almost every time. So, okay, yeah, it took me a week.
One week. And the 540?
Ooh, 540 came really easy. That's why I'm doing it all the time. It came really easy. I remember it was like literally also with the third time I landed it, and I think I unlocked it with the third time as well.
Wow.
Literally, it took me maybe one session or something like that. I remember Daniel told me like, okay, go for the 540 because you've been doing 360 for too long. Like, you need something new. I was like, okay, tried it first time. Like, had good rotation, didn't have the height enough. So he told me, like, get more height. Second time I hit my hands against the bar, I was like, okay, this is possible. I need to go for it. And the third time, like, I landed it.
Wow. Crazy.
So, yeah, like if you have, like, the... You can't be afraid if you want to learn something. Like, you have to get that mentality. Also, you'll need to learn how to fall. If you fall incorrectly, you can injure yourself, but if you learn how to fall, it's not going to take also energy out of you. It's not going to drain you that much.
Okay, and Gengar.
Oh, that one I relearned it like a couple of times as well, but like it also took me maybe a couple of sessions. Like every single like 540s, everything, it took me a couple of sessions to pick it up, because I have seen it before. Like, Daniel threw it so much times in front of my eyes that I have something to like prepare myself. Like, okay, I understand the technique by looking at him every session when we train together. So it was easier for me to learn it. If you train by yourself, if you don't have something to like have an example, it's going to be way harder.
Yeah.
Like for me, like I had them already back then. He was like, Daniels was like third in the world in calisthenics freestyle. So it was, he was really advanced back then already. So I pretty much copied and pasted the technique from him.
Okay. And something that I also see, I know it's like also a technique, but when a move gets normal for you, because you see it every day, it's like not that, oh, this is the move that nobody can do. Like you have a limit in your head, but you see it every day, you know, then it gets easier. I don't know if you saw the same phenomenon, but since Ikvan threw the ice ball, the front flip regrab on the at the World of Bar Heroes competition, like everybody does the front flip regrab. Like it feels like this. It's not, of course, it's not objective, but you know, it's he threw it, and after then, like it got more normal. And when it's normal, it's easier.
Yeah, I've seen, like, I think even before then in Latvia, we had already a couple of persons that they were doing front flip regrab. Because, like, first you need a person who's example also. Like, if you see a guy who's doing it with a good technique, you're going to be, okay, this seems easier. When you see a good technique, it looks easier. If somebody is going to do it with bad technique, it seems harder. So if you see somebody doing it easily, it's like, okay, it might not be that hard. I should try it. And then you try some couple of times, then you hit your fingers against the bar and you're like, okay, I can land it probably and just need to send it in that moment.
Either you land it or you land on fail army and get paid for being in a gym.
Literally.
literally like workout failed.
Yeah, literally. Or a friend Christoph, he failed in the... We judged the competition in Estonia, and he failed on his face. He literally got paid from that. He fell really hard, but he got failed. He got paid from that footage. So it's either way, win-win situation.
But this fail, I remember it. Like seeing it on Instagram, it was so hard to watch. Like, yeah. But that's the game of dynamics, I guess.
Yeah, it comes with the territory, I guess. Like if you get hurt, like. You just need to pick yourself back up and continue doing it.
Sure. Okay. So we're coming to an end, and I have some quick questions, quick answers at the end. What do you prefer, pizza or burger?
Burger.
Burger. Okay.
Burger every day.
And do you prefer dogs or cats? I think we heard a dog in the beginning, so you're having
dog.
A
dog. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dog. Dog. Yeah.
Okay. And your favorite location for holidays that you've ever been to?
Holidays. Whoa. I don't know. Like
travel in general.
Travel in general?
Yeah.
Last, like, since I came back from New York, like, I want to go back to the States. But if we don't take the States in consideration, then it's probably going to be Spain. Because, like, the community is big out there. I want to, like... travel there and experience Spain.
Okay. And you also speak quite some languages, right? You speak Russian?
Yeah. I talk a little bit Russian.
Yeah.
Like, because like in our country, half of the people talk Russian. So я могу говорить чуть-чуть по-русски. So okay. Yeah, a lot of people also have a Russian surname. So a lot of people assume that I talk fluently in Russian.
Yeah.
I don't talk fluently. I can talk a little bit, but I can't read in that language because I learned German in school.
So, okay.
I also can talk a little bit German. So yeah.
Okay. So foreign languages, English, a little bit of Russian, and a little bit of German.
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
So yeah, if you have more languages that you know, it helps you a lot when you're traveling. When I went to Russia to World Championship, literally, almost anyone like can't talk in English in Russia, so you need to know some Russian if you travel there.
Yeah.
Also, like if you go to like USA, you need English. If you don't know English, you're gonna get lost.
Yeah.
But yeah, languages are the key.
Nice. So, your favorite calisthenics athlete?
Ooh, favorite calisthenics athlete. This is gonna come like to a shock to you, maybe, or anybody else that are watching. There's this guy who won Burning Gate competition last year. His name is Emmanuel. I don't know his surname, but he's really strong in statics.
Okay.
Like when I saw him, I'm shocked. I was like, damn, this really made me want to like train my statics.
Okay, crazy. I will, you can send me his Instagram afterwards and we can put him in the descriptions for everybody who's interested in this crazy statics guy. So yeah.
Yeah. Because like I'm actually like literally, I don't understand this thing. Freestyle athletes get a lot of recognition, but statics guys don't get that much of a recognition. This guy, he won Burning Gate. I don't know how much he has followers, but yeah, like most of the freestyle athletes won't know him, but he's really crazy strong. So shout out to that guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can put his like Instagram tag on the screen, maybe in this interview. So everybody check him out. Yeah.
I'll write this down. Yes. What would change for you if social media just disappeared?
I think it wouldn't change that much. I would still train. I would still like compete. I think if social media would disappear, the competitions would still like happen. I would still compete. Like my life would be the same. Like social media is not my main thing. That's why you don't see me posting that much on social media.
Nice. Do you have a favorite book?
Favorite book? I have this one book that I read recently. It's called, what was the name? The Way of Fuck It. It's named. It's about like mentality, like to not be stressed about little things, like to focus on the like big goals in life and don't stress about it too much.
Okay. Yeah, we will also put it in the description. I will ask you afterwards about the exact name. And the best calisthenics event you've ever been at so far?
Oh, it's going to be a tricky question because like it depends on the level and also on the organization level. If it would be like in the competing level, it would be World Cup finals in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2018. Yes, 18, I think. 2018, and in organizing level, the top competition would be Beast of the Bars that Daniel Fleffel organized. That was my favorite competition. Like I loved every second of it. Like just to see that your friend organized a really high level event, it like really enjoyed. Like I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah,
somebody putting in the work.
That's true. Like he just put so much passion in it, and you felt that on the event. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also the event where we got to know each other, like personally.
Exactly.
So yeah, big shout out to Daniel for this.
Daniel Fleffel,
for this great event. Nice. And the last question: dynamics or statics?
Now it's a hard question, like because like just because I can do dynamics in the kind of good level, I could pick that. But because I can't do that much statics, I could pick that. So pretty much I'm on a limbo right now. I could say like dynamics would be because I'm recognized by it. I could say,
okay.
I pick dynamics.
Nice. Perfect. So, where can people get in touch with you? How can they reach you? How can they write you? Ask you something.
Probably Instagram or Facebook. You can find me by my name or surname on Facebook. And, also name and surname in Instagram.
Perfect. So if you have any questions, the links are also down in the description. And before you can end the episode and say goodbye to everyone, I want to say thank you for listening till the end, because I know it's still like already around about an hour of interview, and I really deeply appreciate everyone. Yeah, like an hour, like it's insane.
It ran so fast.
Yeah. So yeah, like if you listen to this till the end, crazy. I hope you took some things with you. I hope you enjoyed. And like we are happy if you give us feedback. What could be better? What was good? Rate the episode. And tune in next time. And I want to say thank you also to you, Pauls, for taking the time, for being here, for answering the questions. And I'm off. Thanks everybody for listening, and you can end the episode, Pauls.
Yeah. Thank you, Phil, for inviting me. Shout out to Gornation. Like they're doing really good. Like I enjoy everything, like equipment, stuff like that. We need more of this like movement that people are making businesses in this sport so we can also do more competitions. So yeah, thank you for that. You're a big part of this community, to be honest. Like, a lot of people may not know, but Gornation is one of the top, like, leading companies, in my opinion, that are doing this right. So yeah, thank you, Phil, for that. And to everybody that is watching this, keep on working hard and probably see you sometime soon.